All right, the Jays are back in action tonight, and Robbie Ray will take the mound for the Jays up against Garrett Richards of the Sox, the final game down in Buffalo. I'm curious to see what the response is. Do you think they get a standing O on the way out?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I think it's been a nice boost for them. They knew they weren't going to keep them forever. They've done a good job of supporting them, but it hasn't been a home field advantage. You know, their record doesn't dictate that it was a home field advantage.
Right, and especially when the Yankees are there.
Basically at 500, and, you know, I mean, but I think Buffalo did a nice job of hosting them. I mean, there weren't a lot of options, and they did a good job, and the Jays put on a good show for them.
Oh, they've had a really fun team to watch.
A really fun team.
If you never have a baseball team, you could do a lot worse. For the history of the major leagues, you know, you just pick one team at random. I would say the Jays are certainly in the majority of, you know, entertainment-type teams, you know, in terms of the history of the of baseball. So, you know, are they the 27 Yankees?
This will be part of their chapter, too, Brian. In Buffalo, it'll be like, we watch Vladdy start his career. You know, we watch the start of the explosion. We watch that here in Buffalo. It's cool.
Yeah, they saw a piece of it. Now, if the Jays come home and go on a run and then go to the playoffs, it might be a little bit bittersweet. You know, like, yes, you saw, but you didn't get to see it play out the way you maybe hoped it would. Like, I'm sure they'd be preferring that the borders didn't open up or they didn't get the green light to come home and everyone stays down in Buffalo. But I think the Jays owe a debt of gratitude to Buffalo as well, because they've been selling seats. You know, like, the tickets have not been cheap. The concessions were not cheap. They haven't been packed buildings every single night, but they've done a pretty good job. You know,
like, they've supported it.
They've supported it pretty well. And they had Josh Allen out there throwing the first pitch. They had our buddy Jack Armstrong out there. Like, they've had a number of local celebrities show up and kind of represent Buffalo and by extension represent the city of Toronto. And this is it tonight against the Sox. And the Sox, they travel, man. There'll be a lot of people from Boston that'll be in the stands tonight. You bank on that, and it's a big one. You know, you got smoked a couple of nights ago. You didn't play last night. You got to get at least one of these. And here is MLB.com executive reporter, MLB Network insider, back on Overdrive, Mark Feinstein. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. Do you think you'll see a tangible difference in the Blue Jays when they get home to Toronto? I mean, what do you think this is worth, the idea that they're going to be back at the Rogers Center?
Well, I think they have to be happy to be getting home after a long half a season in Buffalo, or more than half a season, season and a half, I guess. I think just there will be some energy there that, you know, the team can feed off of. Of course, that energy will go as far as the team's performance takes them. If, you know, if they go up there and lay a couple eggs, that's going to take the air out of the building, I think. But you'd have to assume that the people up in Toronto have been waiting to get back to a ball game, and they should have some pretty good crowds. And the fact they've got an exciting young team, they certainly got something to go and cheer on.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the Jays, they can hit, that's for sure. And the starting rotation's been pretty good. I mean, a couple of nights ago, notwithstanding. But you got Robbie Ray on the mound tonight. And this was a reclamation project when they acquired him last year. He was a guy that we knew he had the stuff. He just could not throw strikes. He walked way too many guys. And then when we'd start getting wild, he'd give up home runs. And instead of a solo shot, it's a two-run shot, three-run shot. And his numbers were bloated. This year, he's been remarkably consistent. And he's a free agent at the end of the year. What do you think the market will look like for Robbie Ray come the offseason?
Well, it's not a huge pitching market in terms of free agency, so I think he'll do pretty well. You know, you've seen guys who you didn't necessarily think were going to be big free agent draws go out there and land some pretty good contracts in years where there haven't been the Garrett Coles and Steven Strasburgs out there, for teams to go after. Everybody always needs pitching. This year, I mean, if you look at the trade market, there aren't a whole lot of of rental starting pitchers out there because the free agent class is not very deep. So, it was interesting to see Lance Lynn sign a deal the other day instead of him going to hit the free agent market. A lot of people thought he could have gotten a significant amount more money and maybe even a third year if he had gone in the free agent market, but clearly he likes it where he is and thought that was the right fit for him. So I think, you know, if Robbie Ray pitches well down the stretch, and let's say the Jays can make the playoffs and he can pitch well in October, I think he's setting himself up for a nice multi-year deal.
Mark, let's turn the pitching market up to the trade deadline, you know, fast approaching, and what the Jays can potentially do. 14th out of 15th in the American League in saves. It's just such a critical area. You know, what's the market look like for them in that capacity coming up on the trade deadline?
Well, there are definitely relievers to be had. The problem is that there are probably a dozen other teams that are going to be trying to get relievers as well. There's really not a team out there that has its hopes of contending that says, we're all set in the bullpen. So whether you are the best team in baseball or a team that's sort of on that bubble, the bullpen is a place you're going to be looking at. There are plenty of relievers out there, some controllable, some free agents. You know, Richard Rodriguez in Pittsburgh, who's got a few years of control left. He's a guy that, you know, has a good chance to be traded. Taylor Rogers, who has another year of control left in Minnesota, he has a chance to get traded. Ian Kennedy's going to be a free agent. And, of course, there's the big prize, which is Craig Kimbrell. You know, there's going to be a lot of teams calling Jed Hoyer and the Cubs about him. He has another year. He has an option for $16 million next year. And he's, you know, sort of rediscovered his all-star form. So he is going to be a very popular name that we're going to hear over the next 9 days. But there are certainly plenty of relievers to be had. It's just a matter of what level reliever the Jays or anybody else are going to go for and what those prices are going to be. Because I know it sounds crazy, but some of these relievers could wind up bringing back better returns than some of these big star free agents to be, like Chris Bryant and Javier Baez, Trevor Story, because to match up on one of those guys, you need a team that's willing to take on their salary, willing to give you what you want in return, and has a need at that position. You know, in the case of Story and Baez, there aren't that many contenders with a big hole at short. So I'm not sure the Cubs and Rockies are going to be able to get back the haul they're hoping for. Basically, the trick is you have to get a package that you believe is better than the compensatory picks you would get if you made them a qualifying offer and let them walk as free agents, and that's really the bar they have to set.
We're chatting with Mark Feinstein of MLB.com, MLB Network. The left side of the diamond here in Toronto has been an issue at times, quite frankly. Like, they don't have an everyday third baseman. Kevin Biggio has played the majority of the games, but I don't think he's comfortable at third. I don't think he's going to be at third for long. Espinal's a guy who's more of a utility infielder. I don't think you want his bat in the lineup consistently. He's looked fine at third. Joe Panik was there sometimes before they got rid of him. But that third base position is going to have to be solidified. Now, maybe Groshans comes up, the kid that they've been waiting for a while. Maybe Austin Martin can play third if and when he gets up here. But that's likely a year or two away. And I'm not convinced Bichette is going to be the everyday option at short for the rest of his career up here. I could see him at second base within the next year or two, which would leave two positions of need and significant ones. Could you see the Jays being active, maybe not necessarily in terms of now in the trade deadline, Mark, but this upcoming offseason when it comes to the left side of the diamond?
Absolutely. I think more so at third base than shortstop, but anything's possible. Third base, I think they'd like to get a third baseman and make Biggio kind of a jack-of-all-trades, let him play all over the diamond and fill in here and there and get a starter's worth of at-bats without having a set position necessarily. But, yeah, I could absolutely see that. I don't know that they're going to make a big move at third base for the deadline. There are a few guys out there, and, you know, I'm not sure that they're going to pay the freight that it's going to cost, or at least that the Cubs are hoping to get for a guy like Bryant. But, you know, there's always options. There's always some names. And again, we've got about 10 teams right now that are kind of on that trade bubble. And, you know, a lot can happen in 7 or 8 days. I mean, we saw the Cubs go from first place to you know, lock sellers in the span of 11 games when they went 0-11. So, you know, a bad week by a team on the bubble this week, and all of a sudden there may be more players out there than we even realize. So I think we're going to see a week or so of teams just sort of biding their time, very deliberate in terms of, you know, sort of monitoring the market, engaging what's out there. And then come July 29th, let's say, I think we're going to have 24 hours where we have just a big flurry of moves.
Chatted with Mark Feinstein. The Houston Astros, even though their guys didn't play in the All-Star game, they've come out of it looking pretty good. You know, they've won a couple of games in a row. They're leading their division in the AL West. They got a 3.5 game lead on Oakland. There's still a lot of vitriol hanging around this team. A lot of it, and I think it was kind of brought to the surface again at the All-Star game with Altuve and Correa. you know, decided not to play. But they're still rock stars. I mean, this has been consistent for quite some time that Houston just continues to churn out wins. And even though I was anticipating they might take a step back, and maybe they did a little bit last year, although that was a COVID season, and I'm not sure what to make of it. Are you impressed, or do you allow yourself to be impressed by this team? What do you make of where Houston is at?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, coming into this year with Justin Verlander being out for the year, McCullers coming back off surgery, you wondered, you know, Greinke another year older, you wondered how their pitching staff was going to be. You knew they were going to hit, right? I mean, with Bregman and Altuve, and, you know, assuming that Correa was going to bounce back in his contract year, you know, Michael Brantley came back. It was a nice addition, you know, sort of resumption in the lineup. You knew they were going to hit. Jordan Alvarez was coming back healthy. The question was, will they pitch well enough? And, you know, they've had McCullers come back and be very good off of surgery. They've had a couple of the young guys with Javier and Urquidy step up. Greinke has just been doing his Greinke thing at 37. And the bullpen's been okay. Ryan Presley's been fantastic. And they are one of those 12 or so teams that are going to be looking to upgrade their bullpen. But right now, I would have to say that if they can address the bullpen in the next 9 days, Houston has to be thought of going into the postseason as, you know, the favorite in the American League. Not an overwhelming favorite, mm-hmm. but that team can go out there and mash with anybody. They're going to put up runs. The question is whether or not their pitchers will hold up, and if they can, they're going to be a really dangerous team in October.
Well, and they're going to have to continue to pursue the top spot in the West. Like, I think they'll win it. They feel comfortable right now. They should be, but it's not as if Oakland is so far in the rear view. The only team that's really going to have to deal with that potential complacency is the Sox, and White Sox, by that I mean. I mean, they're just going to run away with the division. It's already over, effectively, and they're a young team that hasn't really been in this position before. Do you think La Russa and company are going to be comfortable with that, the fact that Chicago is probably going to punch their ticket by, like, September 10th?
Well, I think having La Russa will help, because that's a manager who's dealt with that situation many times before, both in Oakland and St. Louis. So you'd have to think he's got the experience to sort of know how to handle a team over the final month that doesn't have much to play for. They'll still be playing for home field, which will be something, and they'll probably stress that to their players. The crazy thing about the White Sox is they're going to get Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez. Both those guys should be back before the end of the year. So you're talking about a team that's running away with its division and is going to be adding back two of its best players. They're going to be pretty dangerous. If their rotation can hold up with Lynn and Giolito and Rodon, they're going to be really tough as well. And, you know, I think the only reason I would give the Astros the favorite label over the White Sox going into October is just the experience factor. They've got guys who have been there. They've done it. They've won the World Series. They've got a lot of players held over from that 2017 team that everybody loves so much. And, you know, I think those are certainly two teams to be reckoned with come October.
Well, it's always great to catch up with you, Mark. I know it's a busy time of year, so we appreciate you finding some time for us. And good luck over the next 8 or 9 days and beyond, and we'll do this again down the road. Thanks.
I'll need it. Thank you.
Yep, you got it. There's Mark Feinstein of MLB.com and MLB Network Insider.
Amazing when you talk about La Russa having the experience. 77
he really
years old.
Does.
He'll be 77 years old when the World Series rolls around this year.
Yeah, I would say he's
amazing.
Been around the block. Yep, he's amazing. Been around the block. Oakland, St. Louis,
won a young
ton.
Man's game.
Yeah, and listen, he's been at the forefront of he was not beloved in Chicago. I'm not sure he still is. You know, like he's made some mistakes this year. He said some weird things. Right after he got hired, it came out that he had, was it driving impaired?
Yeah, he had some issues.
Something came out, like, really within a day or two of him officially being hired.
Right.
It's been a rocky road for him, but his team has pulled away.
Had a 10-game lead.
Yeah, they're basically running away with the division, and they will. And that division's pretty terrible. I mean, there really is an awful division, the Central. So that helps, but they're going to get there, and that's going to be the conversation, right? Like, how do you stay sharp? How do you stay on the ball? How do you continue to push for something when it's going to come easy to you? And you're going to punch your ticket well before game 162.
Well, that's where the manager really comes into play. And you talk about the Jays coming home, and all of those teams at the top of the divisions are 10, 12 games over 500. The Jays are basically 500. Mm. So just that little bump coming back, you know?
Yeah.
You think about it. Think about even picking up half of that, and they're right there.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. The Jays are 22 and 21 at home. And you look at Tampa, they're 12 games over 500. You look at the Red Sox, they're 9 games over 500 at Fenway.
There's the margin right there. That's margin plus.
Can be the difference right there between getting in and missing what you do at home. And it looks as if Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, is trying to put a little puzzle together here. Kind of feels like they're messing around with the rotation a little bit, giving Hyun-Jin Ryu an extra day's rest, so he'll pitch the second game of the Mets series. And they might look to give him another day's rest next week, and then he would be on the mound on July 30th when they come home and make their debut at the Rogers Center, which is maybe more about marketing than anything else.
Yeah, I got a couple calls today about tickets, by the way.
People are already calling and looking for help
tickets.
With that.
It's great.
I have not received any yet. Expecting to have a couple people reach out. Do you think
apparently
we can
people think
find
we're
a way?
Connected, Brian. I'm not sure how many people are going to be in the stands.
15K, man. Yeah. It's funny. 15,000.
It's going to be a premium.
I think it will as well. Yeah, I hope they sell out every possible ticket. And I said this earlier in the week. If they don't, I hope they find a way to fulfill that seat. Fill 15,000 seats. Right?
I think they'll do that for sure.
I hope. Frontline workers, kids, whatever it is, if you find a way to get to capacity every single game.
Yeah, whatever that capacity is.
Whatever that happens to be. Yeah, I mean, that may not be the case if you're in September and it's full capacity and the team misses the playoffs and they're 500. Maybe you're not going to have 45,000 people in the stands every single night.
Well, let's hope the excitement of having an event to go to, you know, as we're rehumanizing ourselves to this world, as we put it, mm-hmm. and having a good team to watch, a fun team to watch. Don't forget, we've watched this team from a distance now for the last how long?
Basically, two seasons.
Yeah, we sort of watched them like wistfully and said, wow, you know, it's our team, but it's really not right now.
Yep. And a lot of first, right? Like, Ryu is the first big name pitcher they've signed at, you know, lucrative money since AJ Burnett. Mm-hmm. And then even before that would be probably Clemens in the late 90s.
Right.
And Springer's the biggest contract they've ever handed out. And
well, if
Vladdy,
you said they were going to have three in the top 10 of some offensive categories and one of them wasn't going to be named Springer.
Right.
It's crazy.
You'd be surprised. And Vladdy is really the first of his kind in terms of, you know, wasn't drafted, but signed with the organization at 16, developed by the organization, came up through the organization, is here now and doing what he's doing. At 22. Mm-hmm. Like every night you see a new stat. First J ever under the age of Vladdy Guerrero Jr. You know, he's just rewriting those record books. So it looks good for Vladdy and the Jays, and they'll be home soon. But they got to take care of business before that happens with a game tonight. 3 at New York taking on the Mets this week. And then 4 at Fenway before they come home next Friday.